This is SQPN, the StarQuest Production Network, leading the way.
You're listening to Catholic Weekend, episode number 236, for the week ending Saturday, August 23rd, 2014. Good morning and welcome to this week's episode of Catholic Weekend.
I'm your captain.
And trust me, I'm feeling
mighty sick.
And joining me from, I don't know where she is, actually. Maybe she's still on the beach in Florida, and I don't know. Well, she'll have to tell us. Maria Johnson.
Hey, guys. I am so happy to be back in my son's bedroom. We're fighting.
Okay. So she's back in town. And let's see. From the plains of Oklahoma, Steve Nelson.
Howdy. Hello. Hello, everybody. Good to be back again on a beautiful day in Oklahoma.
Wind poems watching on the... Okay.
It's only going to be 100 today.
Ooh, your kind of weather, right?
Yep.
And also joining us from the heart of Texas, San Antonio, Angela Ciolana.
I'm back, y'all.
Are big and bright.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
The prairie skies.
We'll hear a little bit more of that.
Deep in the heart of Texas.
That was Marty Robbins, right?
What? No, that was...
Guthrie.
What's his name?
Guthrie?
Guthrie, I think.
No, shoot. Who is it?
I thought it was...
What's his name?
Somebody do a quick search. We're live. That was somebody singing Heart of Texas a long time ago. We're pretty sure of it. Okay. Well, hello, everybody, and welcome to Catholic Weekend. And first of all, I'd like to say, man, did Steve and I miss Angela and Maria. You guys have been missing in our lives and the lives of all who listen to this show. And...
I say it was mutual.
Well, you know, this is like show and tell. You get back from your vacation, and now you have to do a show and tell. So, who wants to go first?
Angela.
Okay, so I was gone for three weeks, and the first week I was actually on a retreat for work. That was really nice, and I got to go to confession, which I hadn't done in a long time, scold, tisk. And then the next 2 weeks, I was in California, and I feel like there should be Beach Boys music right here. I went to Northern California to see my in-laws, and then we drove down to Southern California to go to Disneyland. Well,
so you need my handy here?
Reverse the whole state, right? I mean, north south, that's pretty cool.
Yeah, so I got to see the beach, I got to see the valley, I got to see the mountains, and yeah, the forests, everything. So.
And Mike came in for us in the chat room, Gene Autry.
Thank you, Mike.
That's why we have you in the chat room. So how was your California trip? How was the weather out there? Pretty nice?
It was nice. It was a lot cooler than, you know, it is here because it's like 100 plus here. So, it was great. Of course, being in Southern California was a little bit warmer. I think it got to like 90 probably was the highest. So I spent most of that time standing in lines in Disneyland to ride rides and stuff. It was my first time, so I don't know if you guys have been, but they have like these lanyards that you wear with your little ticket to come into the park, and they give you these pins. So, like, it was my first time going, so I got a first-time pin that I put on my lanyard, and then my mother-in-law was like, oh, well, we don't see you that much, so we're going to celebrate your birthday. So I got a – she was went around telling everybody that it was my birthday, even though my birthday is in December. So I had a, you know, I'm celebrating pin on my lanyard, and then I had, like, a happy birthday Angela pin. So, like, everywhere I went, people would just look at me and say, oh, happy birthday, Angela. It's like total stranger.
Oh, wow, that's hilarious.
So, yeah. No,
they take those pins seriously. I was down in Disney World and with Deborah Chauvin.
Yeah.
And we saw these people, and they'd have like 200 pins on their lanyard. You know, they take them really seriously.
And I don't know how they keep their heads up, because I had like 5 and it was so heavy. I was like, oh my gosh, I'm getting a neck workout right now.
Nice.
So, yeah, it was great. And then after Disneyland, we went back up to Northern California, and we went to a baptism of a little baby. My husband's godson has a new baby sister, so we went to her baptism, and it was fun. So, yeah, California. So I'm back.
Excellent. Well, welcome back. We missed you. And then Maria,
yeah.
You know, I think I recall seeing some pictures from the beach. Where were you?
Yes, I was in close to Mexico Beach, place called Port St. Joe's. And it's on the Florida Panhandle. Beautiful beach up there. And I just sat my fat little butt in the sand for about 10 days.
Nice.
And just basked. I did nothing. but hey. I was telling you guys during the pre-show that we were caught in between the time change between Eastern and Central Time in the house that we stayed in. So I could walk across the house and I would lose or gain an hour. And it made for some awkward situations. I texted somebody really, really late at night. Because I thought it was an hour earlier and missed a couple of phone calls. But anyway, it was great. It's nice to unplug.
That would mess with my mind.
It did mess with our minds. And yeah.
My dad used to joke about that, because when we lived in New Mexico, we lived right on the border with Texas. And so he worked 30 miles away in Texas. And so he would leave the house at 6:30 in the morning, drive 30 minutes, and get there at 8. At 6:30 in the morning, drive 30 minutes, and get there at 8. And then he would leave at 5 o'clock and get home at 4:30.
Well, yeah. Wow. That's so nutty.
Hey, Maria, do you have that microphone set up? Or
is it not on? Oh, you know what? I might not have set it right.
Okay, I just thought I'd mention that, because it sounds like it's coming from your little ear.
Yeah, it sure is.
Anyway, so great to have both of you back, and I'm trying to get another browser going so I can look at the chat room. But in the meantime, wanted to say that there have been a lot of things going on. Oh, before I do that, let me tell you about my little show and tell. Last weekend, after Catholic weekend, because I had a request in to pick up some extra flying, and I didn't know if I was going to be flying on Sunday or not. And I went to a vigil mass, and so I've used the Mass Times app to see what, because I was a little bit too late for our own parish. They have a pretty early vigil mass on Saturdays at 4:30. So I did a search, and a couple popped up. One that's not too far away from here that we've been to before, St. Thomas the Apostle. And then the other one that popped up was a Byzantine Catholic church, which is, again, not too far from where we live. It's on the other side of Georgia 400. And it is called Epiphany Byzantine Catholic. And for those of you who are either not Catholics or don't know much about the rites of the Catholic Church, you know, back in 1054, we had the Great Schism, and basically it separated the East from the West. And after a certain period of time, I'm not sure exactly how many years it was, several of the Eastern churches that broke off realized that they should still have allegiance to the Pope in Rome and in the Western Church, and so they came back. Several of those rites came back, and currently today, I tried to look it up right before the show, there's something like 21, 22 different rites in the Catholic Church, and the one that most of all of us are in is Western Rite or the Latin Rite. It's referred to many different things, the Church of Rome. And all of the other rites are Eastern Catholic rites, and they're Byzantine, Maronite, Chaldean, etc. And so they are in union with the Church of Rome. So we as Roman Rite or Latin Rite or Western Rite Catholics can go to their divine liturgy. They don't call it a mass, and we can get Holy Communion, which is a little bit different the way they do it. They do it the bread is not like a wafer. The bread is more like leavened bread that is broken off, and it's soaked in the blood, the wine. And then they take this golden spoon, and you open up your mouth, and then they drop this little drop of bread and wine or body and blood combined. And so that was a little bit different, and so I decided to check it out. I wanted to check out this Eastern Catholic rite for some time. Now, again, this is not the Orthodox Church, so don't confuse the two. The Eastern Catholic rites, like the Byzantine Rite, etc., are in union with the Pope and the Church of Rome. The Orthodox, they're not. So you can't go and do your obligation on Sunday at an Orthodox church, because they are still separated from us from that 1054 schism. So the thing that I was really interested in hearing is that I heard that they don't use any kind of musical instruments. It's all singing. But in the vigil mass at this particular church, there was no singing at all. I mean, there was no chanting or anything. It was all just spoken. Kind of like some of the local churches here, like that very, very first mass on Sunday morning, like the 7:30, a lot of times you won't have any music. It'll just be, very, very little music or none. So I was a little disappointed by that. So I should probably try to go to a Sunday mass or a Sunday divine liturgy at this place. But lots of good smoke, lots of incense.
It's a lot of artwork icons.
Yes, a lot of icons, and they have a gate, like a fence, like an open fence that separates the sanctuary from the rest of the church. And there are certain doors that they walk through at certain times, and deacons can walk through two of the doors.
I think that's called the iconostasis.
Yes,
that's right. Yeah,
it is, and basically that means like a stand or for the icons or a wall of icons or something. I think that's what that stands for.
Where was the tabernacle?
I don't know.
I think it's kept behind that iconostasis. Like it's a little. It's I think it's more set up, kind of like the ancient Jewish temple. Mm-hmm. To where there's certain sections and the priests are allowed and, in the back portion or front, however you're looking at it. But, I don't know. I'm still pretty ignorant of a lot of the Eastern rites, and I think they have differences between, all you know, in the back portion or front, however you're looking at it. But yeah, I don't know. I'm still pretty ignorant of a lot of the Eastern rites, and I think they have differences between, you know, obviously have differences between them liturgically. But I think that's kind of how it is. It's more like the Jewish temple than your average Latin.
Yeah, and they make a point to say that basically their liturgy is pretty much, for the most part, unchanged since the 300s.
Holy smokes.
So I thought that was really fascinating. In fact, I saw another article earlier this week that the Monsignor at the Washington Cathedral. What's his name? You guys might follow his blog. Anyway, he had a story about this diagram of one of the house churches back in the 300s that they uncovered, they excavated, and they drew this thing. And, you know, the non-Catholic Christians would like you to believe that, you know, the early church, they met in people's individual homes, and it was very intimate and cozy and, you know, just very casual and everything else. And this kind of proves that the house churches that they were talking about were actually quite quite complicated and sophisticated, and they had like a baptistry and a place for, you know, various for the priests, the clergy to get set up with their, what is that called, the sacristy. So they had all these, you know, it was very, very organized. They had very clear instructions for the deacons. In fact, he points to a document that kind of explains the whole procedure. What is that? What the heck was that? Did you hear that?
Yeah, somebody must have been playing something.
It sounded like somebody on a roller coaster or something. You know what? I think it might be one of these windows that I have in the background. But see, I'm having trouble with Flash on my machine, and I think that sometimes these web pages start playing certain things.
What's that Steppenwolf song about Magic Carpet Ride or something? It sounded like the beginning of that.
I don't know.
Oh, that reminds me of something, now that you say that. Can I move on?
Yeah.
Okay. No, I didn't mean it that way. Okay. Don't take it wrong. Don't take it personally.
That's okay. That's okay. But I won't say it.
Nevertheless, please do so.
So when I was in Disneyland, actually, there's Disneyland, and then there's this other park that they built called California Adventure. And it's still Disney stuff, but it's kind of more, there's like more roller coaster type rides and that sort of thing. So anyways, we went to, they have this Aladdin show, right? Oh. And it's basically like, you know, almost like Broadway. They have this huge theater, and you go and you watch these really talented people basically act out the Disney movie Aladdin. And I think it's like almost an hour long. It was really great. So the day that we went to see that was the day after Robin Williams had died. And of course, he played the genie in the Disney movie. And so, first of all, it was weird to go, you know, to Disneyland, see the pictures and, you know, whatever of the genie, you know, right after he had died. And we were all kind of wondering, you know, how are they going to deal with this? How are they going to acknowledge, you know, the fact that he's passed? And so the guy who actually played the genie in this show was awesome. He was so great. And what I liked was, I don't know if he changed because I hadn't seen this particular actor before play this part. I don't know if because Robin Williams had passed, he wasn't so much, he clearly did not try to be Robin Williams or sound like Robin Williams when he was singing the songs or making jokes or whatever. He was his own person, but it was still in the character of the genie. So anyway, at the end of the show, where they're coming out for their final, you know, bows and that sort of thing, the genie's kind of the star, right? So he came out by himself, and he bowed, And then he put his hands together like he was praying or saying thank you. And then he kind of lifted up, you know, lifted his head up and looked toward heaven and sort of, you know, kind of shook his praying hands up to heaven, like almost as if he was acknowledging, like, you know, Robin Williams, and just sort of kind of, you know, giving him credit, giving him due, and acknowledging, you know, they didn't say anything, I guess maybe because there were children there and they didn't want to, you know, make a fuss I guess, you know, bring that up. But it was nice to see that very, you know, just small gesture toward, you know, this great actor. And so anyway, I just thought I'd bring that up because I thought it was really neat and just such an interesting experience, you know, to go to Disneyland and have that happen right before. And so anyway,
it's pretty cool. I'm sure he would have said the show must go on, you know.
Yeah. But so, and another thing that I was thinking when Jeff, when you talked about going to different churches, I went to for the Assumption, I went to the former Crystal Cathedral in Anaheim.
Oh,
has that been open
how
now?
Cool.
The actual cathedral structure has not been open yet. They're still redoing it. I'm making it Catholic or whatever. but we went to Mass in what they call the Arboretum, which is this really beautiful, it's still beautiful, building that where they're having Mass for the parish. And it's kind of like, almost like you're in a greenhouse in a way. And it's just all like windows. And you're looking out to, of course, they have beautiful gardens on the property. If you've ever been on that property, beautiful with fountains and just huge trees. And it was beautiful. So it was awesome. And I picked up a parish bulletin, which they have a great parish bulletin. It's beautiful. And they had a story in there that actually broke, I guess the day after or something, that EWTN's building a studio there on the campus of the Crystal Cathedral, and they're going to be creating new programming from that studio and broadcasting the masses from the Crystal Cathedral now it's called Christ Cathedral, whenever it's completed. So I thought that was neat.
Yeah.
Oh, pretty cool. You know, this week I was on, featured in Catholic Mom, writing about going on vacation and going to other churches. And so that's pretty cool to be able to find a place to go to and to experience the same Mass in a different setting. I love it.
Yeah, I saw your post about the place that you always like to go to when you go down to the Panhandle.
Yeah, we've been going to that same church for almost 12 years. And one year we stayed actually on Mexico Beach, and we went to Our Lady of Guadalupe. I thought that was kind of funny that's the name of the parish there. But we stayed in Port St. Joe's, so we go to St. Joseph's. It's really cool.
Very cool. Very cool. Well, let's see. There were a couple stories that I wanted to talk about on today's show, if you guys don't mind. Of course, we had the terrible tragedy of the beheading of the journalist James Foley just a few days ago. And just recently, I think just, what, yesterday or the day before, Pope Francis called the parents of James Foley to express his sadness and support for them, and voiced gratitude for the prayers, or parents voiced gratitude for the prayers offered for their son. And so I thought that was kind of touching that the Pope, you know, called the parents of the slain journalist. And then I saw another story about him, James Foley, in the Catholic World Report, that he was writing a piece for his alma mater, Marquette University, and talking about how he began to pray the rosary in Libya in 2011. And so when he was held captive, let's see, I'll read a little excerpt of that if you don't mind. He said, I began to pray the rosary. It was what, maybe he started doing that before now, it was what my mother and grandmother would have prayed. I said, 10 Hail Marys between each Our Father. It took a long time, almost an hour, to count 100 Hail Marys off on my knuckles, and it helped to keep my mind focused. One night, 18 days into our captivity, some guards brought me out of the cell upstairs in the warden's office. A distinguished man in a suit stood and said, well, you might want to call your families. And so he talks about calling his mom, and you know, that was, I think, the last time that they'd heard anything from him. But anyway, I thought it was cool that obviously he is Catholic and was praying the rosary to help him through those very trying times in the Middle East.
It's just unbelievable. I don't know if there's really words to express, and it's difficult to even comprehend that this sort of thing was happening on a regular basis in the early days of the church, you know, that people were going through this so publicly, these murders. It's just tragic.
I don't know. There's no way of explaining. I can't find any way to explain the barbarism that goes on like this, you know. Mm-hmm. And it's like you said, it's been going on for 2,000 years. Well, who knows how long it's been going on, but you know, we know this in the history of the church, it's been going on for 2,000 years.
Mm-hmm.
But I just don't understand it. I could no more do that than, I'd rather die than do that to somebody. I just don't understand it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think it's, we're incapable of understanding it. It's a completely different world than what we live in and the way we think about things and honor life. Let's see. Let's shift over to Oklahoma and the Oklahoma City, the Black Mass news just recently that the Satanists gave back the host.
Yes, yes. This is really good news. The Archbishop Coakley in Oklahoma City decided that one of the tactics that he would use to address this Black Mass that is scheduled to go off in September was to file a lawsuit claiming that, the Satanists had been proclaiming that they had a consecrated host that they were going to desecrate during this ceremony. I don't even know what words to use. Mm-hmm. So the Archbishop determined that it was illegally obtained, therefore it was stolen, therefore he filed a lawsuit to have the legal authorities force its return, which I thought was a brilliant move, and it didn't take them hours before they said, nope, we're not going to fight this. We're going to give it back because, they're very hypocritical in their statements. They said, but they gave it back. And so that's a major victory in this cause to have this thing canceled. It's still going to go on, apparently, but now that they're not going to presumably have the desecration of the Eucharist as a part of it. So that's a great victory for us.
How do we know that they don't still have another consecrated host? I mean,
we don't, but they signed a statement saying that they would not use one.
Okay.
Or they will face, continued legal troubles.
Yeah.
And honestly, the people that are putting this thing on are not people with any money. At least the local people aren't.
Mm-hmm.
So I don't think they're going to push that. So.
Well, that seems to be good news.
Yeah.
So I guess they're still going to have the Black Mass, though, without a consecrated host or something like that.
Presumably, yeah.
Yeah. Well, hopefully we'll start paying less attention to it and it'll all go away.
I'm not sure. I'm not sure that's the right approach.
Okay.
I think we have to keep the pressure on.
Okay. Well, at least keep praying and such to keep something like this from continuing to happen in the future. Yeah.
But that shows the efficacy of prayer, because there were a lot of people that were fasting and praying for something like this to happen, and it did.
Excellent. Good news. Hey, have you seen this new fad in the last week or so? The ALS promotion stuff. The the buckets of ice. What do they call this? The ALS challenge, ice bucket challenge.
Ice bucket challenge. Yeah.
I don't know how you can't see it if you're on social media at all.
And I knew it was going to come my way. It's going to be Father Kyle who was the one.
Yeah, apparently Father Kyle has challenged the Catholic Weekend hosts on this. Now, before we start getting that bucket of ice ready for each of us, I think that this story is kind of interesting. The Cincinnati Archdiocese has warned Catholic school principals against donating to the ALS Association due to concerns that the money could wind up funding research that uses embryonic stem cells. Mm-hmm. So, right. So what do we do then? You know, what about that?
Well,
if you watch Father Kyle's video, he mentions this, and he says in the description of the video and in his blog that he decided to donate to two other organizations that do not support embryonic stem cell research. One is I believe it's the Gleason Foundation or something similar. If you go to teamgleason.org, it's the an organization that helps people who are living with ALS to basically live a more comfortable and productive life. They use technology and coordinate programs to, just assist them in, whatever difficulties they're having. And then also the John Paul II Medical Research Institute.
Yeah.
So... those are some alternatives.
Well, very good.
Well, I've gone back and forth about this whole thing. Some people who are doing it seem to be doing it for their own attention, you know, little vain reasons. Mm-hmm. And so I would just encourage that everybody who wants to do it, that they make sure that it's focused on this disease and research that's going to, you know, help hopefully find a cure for it someday.
Yeah, I'm kind of torn both ways because on the one hand, I see how much good it's done in terms of bringing a larger awareness of what ALS really is, because some people, you know, maybe had heard of it in passing or sort of knew, like some maybe famous people who have it. But I think this is kind of, you know, helping people to just be more aware and learn. And I think Father Kyle did a great job of, in his video, of doing things a little differently instead of just dumping the ice over his head. He talked about some of the symptoms of, or the effects of ALS and what it does to a person's body. And he talked about that and kind of demonstrated that a little bit. So if you haven't seen the video, do watch it. I think we can put it in the show notes for this this show. But at the same time, I'm a little bit torn because, you know, I don't really like telling other people about my charitable giving. I don't really like, you know, making that public. I prefer to keep that private. That's just me. That's my personality. And, you know, for another thing, this might sound funny, but here in South Texas, where it's like 100 plus degrees, I think it's probably more refreshing than shocking to dump ice water on yourself. So
should
I don't
be the
know,
hot water challenge.
It's kind of being lost a little bit. The whole point of it.
Yeah.
So I don't know. I really liked the way that Maria responded to it in her blog, and I really appreciated hearing from, you know, people who actually, you know, experience this disease and what it does. So.
And Maria's back, speaking of.
Hello.
Very soft voice.
Very soft voice. You were talking about Father Kyle's challenge to us.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yeah. I don't need to do the ice bucket thing. I had a bucket of ice thrown on me already.
Yeah.
So. But I appreciated that, and you know, it's kind of a tough place to be, because I think I kind of agree with Father Kyle. I think the whole thing is pretty stupid, but not accept the love with which it was given when it was personal, you know, when people did it intentionally.
Yeah.
Right.
You know, for us. So I felt that I had to thank them. Well, I'd just rather you be our friend, you know. Go visit the sick. When you get sick, when you have an illness like this or any other kind of illness, people are afraid of you. You know, it's not contagious. It's not catching. You know?
Yeah, I've thought about that. I mean, it seems it's an instinctual thing. I don't know, more than anything, I think. Mm-hmm. You know, maybe it's just kind of, it's part of our base psyche. Maybe it's because of, you know, when we all live in caves.
Survival mode.
It's a survival mode, sure.
Yeah. But, you know, it can be overcome if you just allow yourself to think through it. You know, but, you know, the initial reaction is like, whoa. And it's the same person, you know, before you knew and after you know they have an illness.
Mm-hmm.
But suddenly, you know, and you just got to deal with it. You got to be mature about it and realize that they need you more than that reaction from you.
That's true.
I'm not speaking very eloquently today.
No, but you're speaking pretty. You're speaking pretty clearly.
I get what you're trying to say.
I understand. It was funny because a friend of mine was coming over earlier in the week. I guess sometime after I'd posted it, and I didn't know who'd read it or not read it. Although it did get retweeted, and I had like this jump in. On my site, and I was like, oh wow, what is this all about? But she was so funny. She called and she says, hey, what kind of beer does John drink? And I'm like, John doesn't drink anything anymore. He's always taking Percocet. But it said bring the beer, so anyway, I'll drink the beer.
Yeah.
What kind of beer does Maria drink? Cold?
Cold 45.
No.
Not cold. I said cold.
Ribbon. Oh, cold. Oh, yeah. OP, other people's beer.
Yeah. There you go. So how was did Sarah come over a couple weeks ago and bring some of her brew with her?
Yeah, she did. It was delightful, and she brought me the Spencer beer too. The one that the monks make.
Oh, how was that?
Oh my gosh, it was delicious.
Ooh.
It was. I didn't share that with anybody. Actually, I like to see how it sips. But Sarah was supposed to take some of the blueberries from the yard to make a blueberry beer, and she left without it. And now I'll just have to catch up with her to give her the blueberries. I'm gonna be making some preserves pretty soon. I've been freezing all of the fruit I've been gathering so that I can make. A blackberry jam for somebody here, and oh gosh!
I'm excited.
So I've got to get the blueberry stuff to her.
Very good.
Oh, I was afraid that the birds had eaten all of your berries.
Oh, they have exploded. I picked. Gosh, we have 6 blueberry bushes, so. We got so many blueberries, and I wasn't eating as much as I usually do because I was freezing them. And but our blackberry bush died. I killed it, John says. I overpruned it, and it just wilted. But I think that our gardener, the guy, well, I say our gardener, it sounds so dramatic.
I had the butler talk to the gardener about
someone lives on Wisteria Lane.
And the chauffeur brought the car around.
Well, you know, we're limited in what we can do anymore.
Yeah.
You know, so we've got this guy that comes and helps to do the heavy work. And we just told him our property extends further past our fence. And so I told him just throw it past the fence and it'll just, you know, turn into mulch or whatever. So he threw all the stuff back there and one day I went back there and I discovered that this blackberry bush was growing through the fence. And so I guess they're technically wild berries now, Steve. Anyway, I went back there. I picked all the blackberries I could reach. And John said, take the tongs and put it through the fence, because it's a 6-foot fence, and see if you can pull some more closer to you. And so I'm sitting there with tongs.
That's funny.
Picking berries. It was hilarious.
He'll think about that every time he takes a nice bite of that jam.
Yeah.
Or preserves.
Hilarious. It's a funny thing about blackberries. They seem to have a mind of their own. You know, I've tried to grow them, you know, and I can't do it. But the wild ones that you can't kill, they go and they go and they go. And it's like, it's the same berry. It's the same bush. But the ones I try to take care of, they don't like it. They'd rather be.
Stop messing with nature and just let it be.
They want to be free.
Well, you're going to get not free-range chicken, but free-range blackberries.
You need to come up with a label for that, yeah.
Well,
berries running away.
Let me do a quick review of the Saints for the upcoming week, how about? And then we'll do our picks of the week. What do you think?
Sure.
Okay. Starting with today, August 23rd, St. Rose of Lima. August 24th, tomorrow is the 21st Sunday in Ordinary Time. On Monday, we have St. Louis, or St. Louis, I guess, would be more appropriate, and St. Joseph Calazans. I don't know who that is. August 26th, Our Lady of Częstochowa. Częstochowa. Nice. Thank
that
you.
It was very important to Pope John Paul.
Is that the Black Madonna?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Okay. Let's see. August 27th, St. Monica, the mother of St. Augustine, who is on the next day, the 28th.
And I think it's so cool that those two are right next to each other.
Yeah, it is. Very, very cool. And as they say, if there's some kind of a person that you're praying for who is lost, you know, and you want the intercession of somebody who can empathize with your situation, that's Saint Monica. She was a very patient, very prayerful mom for many, many years until her son finally converted to Christianity, and the rest is history, literally.
And who is her son?
Saint Augustine, or Augustine, if you'd prefer. Most of us say Saint Augustine, the Bishop of Hippo, I think, right? In northern Africa. And then August 29th, the Passion of St. John the Baptist. And finally, August 30th, St. Margaret Ward. Margaret Ward, she was the organist at our choir a few years back. I didn't know that she had become a saint.
Imagine that was
that.
Quick.
Yeah,
having to sing with you.
Touché. Touche. So there we go. And so now it is time for this. The picks. Yes. The favorite part of the show for most people, because that means, yes, just right around the corner, it's over.
The end.
Thank God. Really.
These
okay.
People are going to finally shut up.
It makes you wonder, why would somebody want to listen to this and put themselves through this torture? I don't know. Okay.
Maybe they're trying to get ears off of purgatory.
All right. Well, who would like to go first this morning? I actually have a pick of the week that I actually put in the show notes before I started the show.
Oh, good for you.
Can I talk about mine?
Please. Overachiever.
Yeah, well, my good friend and fellow choir member of our old parish, St. Andrew, Sarah Catherine Boyle, sent me an email, and she said that she's been catching up with some of the old Catholic Weekend episodes. I think, actually, she's in the chat room this morning. I think I saw her
in
there.
Hello, Sarah.
Hey, Sarah. Miss you. I really do. Anywho, we are now on our different parishes, you know, closer to where we live. And she sent me an email, and she said, hey, would you mind mentioning this on the show. Maybe it can be your pick of the week. So thank you, Sarah, for helping me with my pick of the week. And two of Sarah's children go to this school. It's a hybrid academy. It's a homeschool. And what do they call this? It's a hybrid schooling, private education available to the masses. St. John Bosco Academy, I'm just going to read it, needs a new home. Our innovative hybrid school that blends the best of home education and the best of the traditional classroom environment works so well that we have outgrown our current location. We need to act quickly to raise funds for a permanent home. Please help. We have grown from 40 to almost 250 students in 5 years. Currently, we lease space from a Christian school whose enrollment is also growing. They no longer have the space to rent to us. We need to act quickly, and we need your help to raise funds for a permanent location. And this is on the CauseVox site. I'll have a link in the show notes to this, but if you want to go directly to it now and give some money to this cause, it's SJBACADEMY, so SJB for St. John Bosco Academy. .causevox.com. They are looking to raise $750,000. They have only 8 days remaining, and they have reached almost, not quite half of that goal, 43%, $319,690. So they only have 8 days to go. So if you have some extra money in your pocket and you want to help out this great cause for hybrid homeschooling and schooling, St. John Bosco Academy needs your help. So there you go. That's my pick of the week. Now, you know what she said? Oh, there's a little video here. Let me play a little bit of this.
St. John Bosco Academy was started by a small group of parents.
And that's not coming through the speakers, is it?
Many families are facing today. They sought traditional values.
And sorry, there was an issue with playback. Apparently, if you have an English accent, it's taken so much more seriously. And it turns out that St. John Bosco Academy is in London. No, it's not. It's over here in Georgia. So, anywho, yeah, I don't know what happened there. This computer is just, I probably just need to restart everything.
Don't do that right now.
I'm not going to do that right now. Thank you for reminding me. Because I have done that before. I've gone, well, I don't need this window anymore. What happened?
And the show got better.
Yeah, hey. That is not fair. It might be true, but it's not fair. And you know what? I don't have... Oh, there it is. My window is still there. Okay, good. I couldn't see myself, which is actually a good thing. Okay, who wants to go next?
I'll go next.
Okay.
My pick of the week is the Stillwater, Oklahoma Catholic Community. They have announced plans to build a new church. And I put a link in the show notes where you can go and look at it. But they're moving from a small Romanesque-style church to a much bigger Gothic-style church. So, you know, they're jumping ahead a few hundred years in church architecture, all the way up to the, whatever it is, the 1200s.
Quite to the Middle Ages.
Yeah. But that's my pick of the week, because the Stillwater, they have two parishes in Stillwater, and they're going to combine them into one and build a much larger campus and turn the university parish into a Newman Center. So it'll be more focused directly on the students, which I think is awesome. So, so pray for the people of Stillwater, because they're going to have to go through that, you know, the ickiness of combining two parishes. But they're going to have a wonderful new campus when they get done, and it's going to be all for the better.
Now, Stillwater, is that the University of Oklahoma, right? That's where they're from?
You do that every time. You know that's not right. No.
Are those the red people or the orange people?
The orange people. Oklahoma
Cowboys.
State University. Cowboys.
The Cowboys.
Don't listen to Jeff.
He's going to launch into Boomer soon.
No, I knew you were going to do that. I knew you would not be able to resist that. I was just waiting. I was going to say something. I was going to try to circumvent you, but I knew.
Nope. All the nopes.
I would sing the Georgia fight song if I knew it.
Yeah, We sink to hell with Georgia. Oops, did I
censor? Well, hell is a real place, and we can talk about it on this show.
H-E double hockey.
And this is like a little personal hell for many of us on Saturday mornings.
Wow. We just went there.
Yeah, we did.
We did.
Yes, we did.
Yeah, we did.
Hopefully that'll be the only time we visit.
There's something to be said for redemptive suffering, right?
Oh, by the way, Sarah Boyle in the chat room, she is there. She said that that was not a British accent. That was an Australian accent.
That's
Matt Fratt.
Crikey.
Crikey.
It all sounds the same to us.
Anyway, so yes, she says, thanks, Jeffy. You're welcome.
Oh, Jeffy.
Many people call me Jeffy, including my daughter. All right. Let's see. Angela, would you like to enlighten us with your pick of the week?
I've got a pick.
You got a pick.
Pick your nose.
It is this 99-year-old woman named Lillian Weber, and she is amazing because she was featured on her local news station that in the past 2 years, she's made more than 840 dresses for African girls.
Wow.
So every single day, she sews a dress for an African girl, and she personalizes them each, and she makes them look real special, and this is her hobby. And she says, as long as I live, I'm going to keep doing this. And I just thought, you know what, like there's just so much, you know, you read the newspaper and there's so much just really sad, depressing news, you know, and the world is going to crap, you know, that type of thing. And
I can't believe you said that.
Here,
a handbasket.
And here is Lillian Weber, you know, 99 years old, and she's making such a big difference in the world. And I just found that so inspiring. So
I read that story. I liked the very end of it. She says, I have like 130 more dresses to make before I turn 100. She wants to have made 1,000 dresses by the time she hits 100.
That's awesome.
I hope she makes it. And then she can stop as far as I'm concerned.
Wow.
Can you imagine that? 1,000 dresses?
That's amazing. I can't even hem my pants.
Well, go over to her house. She'll help you out.
She'll help
you out. Yeah. Okay.
Well, I guess it's my turn, eh?
It is.
Well, to go back to what we were talking about earlier, on my blog I linked to the John Paul II Medical Research Institute, which does ethical research for ALS and other diseases.
Uh-oh. So, we're losing you, Maria.
No, you don't have to dump cold water on yourself, but do donate to organizations that are conducting ethical research.
Very good.
Speaking of that, you know, about not dumping water on your head, have you seen Patrick Stewart's?
Yes.
That's the best one. I wanted to mention it.
No, I haven't seen it.
Oh, that's the best one. Go ahead.
I don't want to spoil it, but he, you know, in his typical, I don't know, British Shakespearean demeanor, he does the perfect thing. It's great. You have to go watch it. It's all over Facebook, but it's perfect.
I think I might have retweeted it. If not, I'm going to go retweet it right now.
It's so witty.
Very little patience for stupidity.
What?
What was that?
He's still watching.
I have very little patience for stupidity.
Okay. I'm sorry I mentioned it.
What soundboard are you on now, dude?
I'm just playing.
That was easy.
All right. Thanks, brilliant. Everybody, for listening.
That's what
she said.
Yep.
That's what she said.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Well, it is that time that we wrap up the show. And let's see. Let's start with Miss Angela Cialana. Give us your promotional information.
Yes, I am at inspiredangela.wordpress.com. And I have had a series for, I think, 3 weeks. I can't even keep track. This week will be possibly the last week on parish bulletins. And
how a lot of parishes around the country are doing amazing things with their parish bulletins. So if you're interested in that kind of stuff, it's kind of like church communications geek stuff, then stop by my blog. And you can also find me on Twitter at InspiredAngela.
Lovely. Thank you, Angela. And again, great to have you back with us. Maria, how about yourself?
Sure. Follow me on Twitter at Bego, B-E-G-O. I think that somebody thinks that I am somebody who isn't who they're trying to get because I've been retweeted about a gazillion times in a case of mistaken identity. But follow me, and I will follow you back and say hello. And you can follow my my blog at begojohnson.com.
Oh, they think that you're Oprah, the Big O.
They think I'm Big somebody. Oh,
excellent. Bego, oh, at Bego and begojohnson.com.
That's it.
Blackberries for everybody.
I can't wait to get my jam in the mail.
For you have to come and pick it up. I'm not putting it in the mail.
Okay. Steve, your promotional.
Everything is Stavon.com. Apparently my blog's been on a hiatus for the last 3 weeks.
Apparently.
it might be a couple more weeks because I'm taking a new job and I'm moving and, you know, I'm going on vacation for a little bit because I need a break. And so who knows what's going to happen over there.
Listen, I'm going to guess. Can I guess post again for a Catholic picture thing?
Please do it. Mm-hmm. Please.
All right.
You're more than welcome to.
Sure. Oh, Father Daryl put a link to the Sir Patrick Stewart.
Oh, wonderful!
Challenge there in the chat room. See what you're missing, folks. If you're just listening to the audio only version, sometime after the fact, you're missing all the fun and frivolity of the chat room. So hang out with us some Saturday morning. I think you'll enjoy it. And I'm the airline pilot guy, Catholic pilot and airline pilot guy, and that's airlinepilotguy.com. And that's about it. And don't bother following me on Facebook or Twitter because I hardly do anything on either of those things. Don't have time. So with that, anything else we want to say before we end?
On that note.
We're done.
I do have... Well, it's kind of a downer.
Okay, go ahead.
I meant to bring this up earlier, but also in the news was that Pope Francis lost a member of his family in a car accident.
That was something I was going to mention. Thank you.
Yeah, his nephew was seriously injured, and his nephew's wife and their two kids were killed in a car accident in Argentina. And I can't imagine what it's like for him being on the other side of the planet for something like that. Mm-hmm. So I would say some prayers for the Holy Father and for his family.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
It's a terrible tragedy. So we'll keep him and the nephew and the people who died in our prayers. All right. Well, yeah, thanks for ending on that nice note. Oh, well. I guess until next time, hope everybody has an enjoyable weekend and a great week. And we'll see you back here next Saturday morning. Catholic Weekend. Take care and God bless.
SQPN, leading the way in Catholic new media.